once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Dr. Paul Esposito, and I thank you for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Thank you for taking 30 minutes of your day to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. Let's see what we can do in 30 minutes here today. We're going to be spending that 30 minutes in the book of Revelation. This will air today and tomorrow. And this sermon is entitled Mystery Babylon. So we're up to chapter 17 or thereabouts. Getting ready to wrap up this great book of Revelation. So we're going to get right to it here in a minute. We'll let this opening play for Monday and Tuesday. We'll be back on the air Wednesday with our ongoing series in the book of Galatians. More info on this ministry, I encourage you to go to WGODradio.com. Download the app as well, WGOD Radio. You keep up with this ministry. Listen to the Sunday sermons. Stay in the Word of God. I encourage you to do that. At the church, the app is Island Community Church FL. And our services are on live from that app at 10:35 a.m. Sunday mornings. But we'd love to meet you and greet you in person. So if you're looking for a church home, we'd love to see you. More on that as we get closer to the weekend. So, okay, Monday and Tuesday, this is the opening. The sermon, Mystery Babylon.
Mystery Babylon is what we're looking at here today. Getting close to wrapping up the book of Revelation. We're going to cover a lot of territory today. Because I don't want to dwell on destruction. Because to tell you the truth, I get it. Make sure you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And make sure, well, this is how Peter says it. He says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1:10. So two things. He says, to make your call. And number two, election. So how do you make your call sure? Well, if you had one of these, it's very easy. You go to where someone calls you and you hit where it says, recent calls. And then there's a list of everyone that's called you. It's easy to do on here. Make your calling, your call, has God called you? You make it sure. Number two, you make your election sure. That is, God says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and called you. He says, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. So, how can I tell? Answer? How do I live? How do you live? Are you any different than you were before? Are you living different than you were before? You make your call and election sure by examining your life. How do you live? And also by your loves and hates. Do you love what God loves? This is how you make your calling and election sure. Peter says, just be certain of this and you'll be all right. Do you love what God loves? Do you hate, what does God love? He loves the homeless, the widow, the orphan, the hungry, the meek, and the poor. And do you hate what God hates? Unrighteousness, sin, homosexuality, people being mistreated. Those are the things that God hates. Do you love what God loves? Do you hate what God hates? Are you still not sure? Then call on Him. You know, maybe you say, well, no one can call unless you've been drawn by it. Well, then you can't do what I'm going to ask you to do. As many as call, those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Right, Darren? If you're not one of the elect, then you're not going to do that. You're going to change the station or leave or just disregard what I said. Call on him then, because he's made a promise in his word. All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you're uncertain, call on him. And you say, Lord Jesus Christ, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I call on you. I'm obedient to your word. I call on you. I'm like the guy I read about that died on the cross next to you, who said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And I call on your name. And I repent of all of my sins. And I want to make my calling and election sure. Please write my name in the book of life, because I want to be saved and I believe you are the Son of God. Remember what Paul says? He says, I'm afraid that some have deceived you because of the simplicity that is in Christ. It's easy. Those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's the message here. There's a terrible time of judgment coming for all unbelievers in the world. Now let's read through some of it. And let's cover all the way through chapter 18 here this morning. Yeah, I'm going to get through 2.5 chapters. Because, yeah, there's a lot of judgment here. The message is, in the middle of all this, remember he says, behold, I come as a thief in the night. What do thieves steal? Valuables. They don't steal rubbish. They steal valuables. In the middle of all this, that's what he says. Behold. All right, let's pick it up. Revelation chapter 16, verse 13. Now I saw three unclean spirits like, notice the word like, that means it's not. It's a simile. When you see the word like and as, like a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. Those are similes. I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Now here we see Satan's mad plan, his very own trinity, with him as the head. We're going to see him again in a moment here in chapter 17 when we see that symbol again of 7 heads and 10 horns. Remember, understand the symbols and you'll understand the book. Right? Understand the symbols, you'll understand the book. And we're going to see some of the most difficult mysteries he's going to explain to us. All right, again, verse 13. I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophets. For they are, verse 14, Revelation 16, 14, they are spirits of demons performing signs. You see that? They're spirits of demons performing signs. Do you think the demon says, hey, follow me to hell? Do you think that's what he says? Of course not. We're in Revelation chapter 16, picking up verse 13. That's not what they say. It's never come follow me to hell. Remember, it says, the Bible says Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers, that's these three that are going out around the world, they're transforming themselves into angels, ministers of righteousness. So when it says, I saw spirits of demons performing signs, means they're going to deceive people. The verse continues, Revelation 16, 14. There are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and to the whole world. Get this. Now, There's an old axiom, and that is, to know the future, you have to go to the past. You knew that, right? I want to show you where this happens in the past. To know the future, you've got to go to the past, because history repeats itself. Listen to this verse here. Daniel, now remember what I just read, all right? Three unclean spirits like frogs. They came out of the mouth of Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. These are spirits of demons performing signs that go out to the kings of the whole world to gather everyone together to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Now, Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 8, God says this. It says, after many days, he's talking to the king of Russia, Soviet Union, Russia. After many days, you are going to be visited. In the latter years, you will come into the land of those brought back from the sword and gathered from many people. On the mountains of Israel, which had long been desolate, they were brought out of the nations, and now all of them dwell together. You will ascend, coming like a storm, and cover the land like a cloud, and all the troops and many peoples with you. Thus says the Lord God, on that day it'll come to pass that thoughts will arise in your mind, and you will make an evil plan. That is that fulfilled. One of these demons is going to get in his... He's going to travel here to Russia, and this is how Satan works. It's through your mind. When Paul said, we're not ignorant of his devices, what we say today is a joke. Oh, that'd be Jedi mind trick. He always operates through your mind. This is how Satan gets to you. He puts thoughts in your mind. This is what's going to happen here. One of these demons is going to go all the way to Russia, to the king of Russia, and God says, in Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 10, that evil thoughts are going to come into his mind. That is what these demons here are going to do here in verse 14. They're spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and to the whole world and gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Now, in the midst of this information comes a warning from the Son of God himself, who is responsible for what you're reading. He says, behold, I'm coming like a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. You see that? Watches and keeps. Watches and keeps. Two action verbs. Watches and keeps. Blessed is he who watches and keeps. Better watch out, he says, because I'm going to show up unexpectedly as a thief. And I would assume to do what thieves do. Remember, thieves steal valuables. They don't take worthless junk. When a thief breaks into your house, he steals what's valuable. So when Jesus says he's coming as a thief, he's going to steal what he thinks is valuable to him. Not what he thinks, what he considers valuable. And the word for steal is the same word for rapture that we go by. The word harpazo, it means open theft. In the midst of all this judgment, he says, behold. He's drawing attention, like the word means, to draw attention to something. Behold, I'm coming like a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps. Remember Hebrews 9:28, it says he's coming again a second time apart from sin to all those that look for him. All right, verse 16. They gathered them together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon. Verse 17. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. Okay, seventh bowl and the corresponding damage. Verse 18. Would be the greatest earthquake ever. Verse 18. And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings. And there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as has not occurred since men were on the earth. Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the city of the nations fell. And Babylon the Great, or Great Babylon, was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Who would like to drink out of this cup today? You ever grab someone else's wrong cup, drink accidentally? How about a gulp of this cup? The wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Then every island fled away. The mountains were not found. And great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent. Who knows how much a talent weighs? 75 pounds. So this is the equivalent of an anvil falling on your head. An anvil. And what do? Great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of hail, since that plague was exceedingly great. Then one of the seven angels, having the seven bowls, came and spoke with me, saying, "Come, I'll show you the judgment of the great harlot that sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and those dwelling on the earth became drunk from the wine of her fornication." That's chapter 17, verse 2. All right, now let's cheat for a moment, and let's trace down what this symbol means here, waters. Verse 15 says this. Then he said to me, "The waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and languages." Every one of these mysteries, the ones that are hard to understand, he gives us the understanding for. Let me connect these dots. Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters. Now in verse 15, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and languages. All right, now back up again to verse 3. So he led me away in the spirit into a deserted place, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast full of blasphemous names, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was clothed in purple and scarlet, gilded with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup filled with. Notice how everything on the outside is expensive and looks great. Clothed in purple and scarlet, gilded with gold, precious stones, pearls, having in her hand a golden cup being filled with abominations and the filthiness of the fornication of the earth. And on her forehead a name was written, a mystery: Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. All right, now here's the trouble. In Greek, it's all one big sentence. And they're unsure where to put the period there or a comma. So some translations, most of them, read like this. On her forehead, a name was written, : Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. Now, I think the correct reading is, on her forehead a name was written, comma, a mystery. There goes the colon. And now here is what's written, Babylon the Great. Not mystery Babylon, but the mystery goes to what it means. The quotation starts on her head with Babylon. If you wouldn't follow me, doesn't start with mystery, starts with Babylon. On her head a name was written, comma, a mystery, : Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. Now I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with greater amazement. All right, think about it. Mystery Babylon. You know, I don't feel so bad now. 2,000 years later, and it's still a mystery. Amen? I don't feel so bad. We're still trying to figure this out. In due time, this will be fully understood. So many people think the woman represents the apostate church at the end of the age. Now, Dr. Criswell, one of my heroes, one of the greatest Baptist preachers ever, said that at the end of the age, there's going to be, to use his own words, a devastating union between church and state, unquote. There's going to be a devastating union between church and state. And John is going to see something here to lead him to believe that this woman is Christian. And that's why he's going to marvel with great amazement. Anyway, church and state. Church and, you know, everyone cries about and insists there need to be a separation of church and state, right? And I couldn't agree more, right? There needs to be. Uncle Sam, world government, stay out of my business. Keep your nose out of the church of Jesus Christ. You've got no business here in the church. This is God's house, not yours. We'll do it his way. We'll call sin, sin in God's house. We forgive people of great sins in God's house. This is the house of God, not the government. The church is in the business of saving souls. Let me say, too, that it's the church that's supposed to help people and see to people's welfare, not the government. It's the church's job to take care of people. It's the church's job to take care of widows and orphans, not the government. This is what the church is supposed to do. And it's what the church always used to do. You know, Joel Osteen's church has enough money to end world hunger. And I believe the church should keep her nose out of state affairs. Because if godly people were in office, we wouldn't have the problems that we have today. In Europe, Bill would tell you this if he was here. I think Ron, too. The churches in Europe, they're all state-run. And they look just like this church we're looking at in Revelation. They're all run by the state. They're all full of solid gold. They're worth $1 million, every church. There's only one problem. You know what that is? There's nobody in them. Two problems. The Spirit of God isn't there. Ichabod's written on the outside. The glory's left the building. Number three, there's no preaching of the Word of God. There's no sin there either. That's the churches in Europe today. There's no one left in them. They're all gone. Now, here at the end of the age, the church and the Antichrist world ruler are going to have some kind of union together. And this causes John to wonder, what in the world is going on? Now, as he's contemplating this vision, we're in Revelation chapter 17, verse 7. Revelation 17, 7. Now the angel said to me, why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that's carrying her. That's got seven heads and ten. The one thing you don't understand, now the angel says, I'm going to help you understand both of them. Why are you marveling at this? Why are you marveling at that? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that's carrying her. That's got seven heads and ten horns. The beast, wait a minute, what about the woman? No, he's going to start with the beast. You see? The beast that you saw,
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Brevard County's Praise and Worship Station, your radios are tuned in to WMIE 91.5 FM.